Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You don't hear many sermons from the book of Numbers. It's one of those books that people kind of pass over, but I particularly love this story because it's a study in human nature. This is the story of the people of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness. God was meeting their needs as they came up. He provided water. He provided food called manna. And manna actually means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. So that's what they named the food. What is it? And he took care of them quite well. But as we know from modern day through ancient times, having your needs met is not enough. It's never enough, is it? We have and we want more. And the people of Israel were no different from us. They had their needs provided for, but they wanted more. They were sick and tired of manna. But instead of gathering hunting parties together or looking for farmland to garden to meet their needs, what did they do? They stood at their tents and cried and said, "We need some meat. We're dying out here. And oh, shouldn't we go back to Egypt? It was so much better in Egypt." And we do that too. When we look on the past, we look at the past with such nostalgia. We all want to go back to the 50s and have Leave It to Beaver type homes, even though that was fantasy. And the people of Israel said, you know, we had really good food in Egypt, never mentioning we were slaves. We were in bondage for 400 years and was begging to get out of it. But no, the food was great. And so they begged. And Moses got really upset. And you can just imagine this poor guy. He's given the responsibility to lead these people. It's not a responsibility that he asked for. He didn't run for a great prophet. He did not say, "I really want this job, and if you elect me as prophet, I'll do a great job for you." He did not want it. And yet God told him, "You're the one, and you have to do it." And so he did it the best he could, but at this point, he is fed up. So he goes to God and he says, "You know, I'm not the one who gave birth to all these people. And, you know, why don't you just kill me now and get it over with?" And so God has a plan. And he recognized that Moses just couldn't do it by himself. So he said, "Look, get 70 people. And meet me in the tent of meeting," which was their church. He said, "Meet me in the holy place, and I will put some of that spirit that's been on you, I will put on these men, and they will prophesy, and they'll speak my words." And in that way, it would help Moses as he led his people. So they did that. They went to the tent of meeting, and I guess all the people gathered, and these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. But then there were two. And these two did not do it properly. You see, they were all registered. This was a very formal process in which they were registered and they were supposed to go to this tent of meeting. But somehow, Eldad and Medad stayed behind. And maybe they didn't get the memo about the time that this was going to take place. But they're in the camp, and all of a sudden the Spirit comes down on them, and they start to prophesy. And one of Moses' lieutenants, and this is another study of human nature, saw that they weren't doing it right. They weren't at the designated place. This was not by policy. And they were speaking God's word in a place where women were washing and kids were playing, and it wasn't sacred at all. So he said to Moses, "Stop them." And Moses said, "Well, why are you jealous? Is it for my sake? That's sweet that you're jealous for me. But let me tell you something. I wish that all of God's people had God's spirit and would speak God's words." And what Moses wished came to pass on the day of Pentecost, when all of God's people were given the Holy Spirit and were able to speak the words of God, and it's the promise that we have today. There is something to be said for coming to worship and for being in an atmosphere where everyone is praying, where everyone has their eyes and their ears focused on God. And it's a wonderful thing. But we also have to realize that once we leave this building, God's Spirit is also in the camp. God's Spirit is at the Piggly Wiggly when you're waiting on that long line. God's Spirit is on Highway 42 as you're rushing to get somewhere, and there's a wonderful tourist who's looking around at all of God's beauty that we've stopped to see because we're so busy. But they're taking it in for the first time, and we're tailgating them, wishing that they go a little faster. God's Spirit is in so many wonderful places that we have to open our eyes and look for. I remember in my first church, the first 2 years that I was there, I understood existentially the Catholic concept of purgatory because I was in it. And I knew it. When I got there, I looked around at this church. It was not this pretty building that we have. The church was literally falling apart. There was paint peeling. There had been disrepair. And I could see from the building was kind of reflective of the people. And I saw the great need there, not only for the building's sake and the ground's sake, but the folks had no energy. And I knew that they had to reach out in order to live. And it's hard when you know what the needs are, but the folks in the pews really did not share my concern. Their attitude was, take care of us till we die. And my attitude was, God did not call me to close a church. And so those worldviews kind of conflicted. And I remember every Sunday preaching as if my life depended on it, going back to my parsonage and sitting down and crying. And that happened for 2 years. Within that 2 years, I was called to do a shut-in communion. I did not know this family. They were not members of my church, but somehow they had found out about this church, and they asked if the pastor would come because they had a mom who was over 100 years old who really needed communion. So I agreed to go. Now, this is before the time of GPS, of MapQuest, of Google Maps, and I have no sense of direction. I was on the Cross Bronx Expressway, and I'm trying to find this place. And I could see the complex. It was a huge complex from the highway, but the exit was obscure as to where to get off to actually get to this place. And so I went off one exit. That wasn't it. I'd circle back. I kept circling the parkway. And I would stop and ask directions. Oh, well, you know, it's over there. Well, that does not help. I can see it, but I couldn't get to it. Finally, after about an hour and a half, and of course there were no cell phones, so I couldn't call to say I was going to be late. So I show up at this place, and the people greet me, and they're frowning and saying, you know, usually ministers are on time. So I was apologizing all over myself. They had to get Mother up out of bed because they had put her to bed. Now, they're sitting with her, and she is completely dull. There's no reaction. I spoke to her. I'm trying to have some connection. Absolutely none. She's just sitting there like a lump. And then I gave her communion. And when I handed her the communion, the kids had to say, "Eat the wafer, Mom!" And then, oh, drink that, Mom, that's communion. I thought, now I'm no longer in purgatory. I'm down. I'm way down. So during the communion service, as is my habit, I started to sing. I figured, you know, there's nothing else I can do. So I sang, I believe it was Amazing Grace. And as I closed my eyes basically because I wanted to shut everything out by this time, closed my eyes to sing Amazing Grace. And all of a sudden, I hear this strong, powerful alto voice harmonizing with me in perfect harmony, and I open my eyes, and there's this 100-plus-year-old lady singing with me. And then we sang another song, and again, in perfect harmony, she's singing. And then she started to praise and say hallelujah and praise the Lord. And by the time I left, she was alert and awake and full of the Spirit of God. And I thought, isn't it wonderful that God's Spirit is everywhere? When I least expected it, when I was at my most frustrated. There are places, as we leave today, that might be unlikely places where we are going to see the Spirit of God in action. And it might take us by surprise, but let us be not like Joshua who said, you know, this isn't the time or the place, but like Moses who said, yeah. This is the way it is. Jesus said it this way, if people are not against us, they're for us. We usually turn that around, don't we? And we pound our table and say, if you're not for me, you're against me. But Jesus was inclusive and said, if they're not against you, then they're for you. And there's so much of God's Spirit that we can experience this week when we leave this place, look for the signs of God in this community and beyond. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is not confined to this place, that as we leave here today, we will find signs of your greatness, signs of your power, signs of your healing mercy in this place. And we ask that we would be conduits of this Spirit as we leave here today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.